Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering season 2, episodes 5 and 6 of Downton Abbey.
Oh my goodness, it's getting serious.
Yeah.
And yes, we have our usual caveats and disclaimers and all of those things, which include that there will be cursing. There are going to be spoilers because we just can't help it. And that we are having things to drink. And what are you having this morning?
I'm having Earl Grey.
Because the Earl of Grantham Earl Grey. Sure.
Sure.
It's totally appropriate.
Well, it's different from the last time I had Earl Grey because that was over at Jasmine.
Well, that's true. But variations on Earl Grey seem super appropriate for this show.
It's also early, so.
Yeah, and I'm doing kind of a, it's not even a hair of the dog. I don't know why I'm doing this, but but I'm doing because of the Downton Abbey cocktail book. And for the second episode that we're covering, I'm doing the Patrick cocktail out of this, which again, they've got interesting combinations of things in here. So this one calls for 3/4 ounce of Canadian whiskey. I use Crown Royal. 3/4 ounce of that cookie Americano stuff, which, you know, it is a prevalent ingredient in this book. So it's been a worthwhile investment. It actually is very interesting in this cocktail. Orange liqueur, I'm using triple sec, lemon juice, and ice, basically. And I'm surprised by actually liking this cocktail because, again, there have been so many like weird ones. I didn't really love the daisy. So I'm kind of like, I'm surprised to be liking this as much as I am, but I'm liking this one.
Awesome. So the sections for episode 5 of season 2 are Matthew, William, Bates, and Ethel. Let's start with Ethel.
Yeah, because, you know, Ethel's short in this and we hate her. So,
here's the thing. I just don't care about her. And the fact that she has so much screen time, I don't care.
But we had a discussion about this. It may be just that, hey, we need some drama in the downstairs. It's like, look, there's plenty of drama with the whole William and Daisy thing. I don't need...
There's William and Daisy, there's Bates and Anna. Like, you have plenty.
Yeah, exactly. And Thomas B. and O'Brien, we don't need extra, but we have extra because we have Ethel.
Okay, so Ethel is being fed out of the kitchens by Mrs. Hughes, which we've discussed is kind of a big turnaround for her of being like, oh, I'm going to fire you, to, oh, you're pregnant, I'm going to feed you out of the kitchens. It's not that it's not a nice thing that Mrs. Hughes might do. It's just the fact that she was the one who fired her.
Well, she's going to like travel to her to take her food. It's bizarre.
It's insane how much work she's putting into like help this family, which is nice of her.
Right.
That's really great.
They don't owe her. And there's this sense of obligation you read off of Mrs. Hughes. And it's like, why are you feeling obliged?
I think that she feels guilty because she can't. Because she's
fired her. Okay, so firing people is
and without a reference, difficult thing, right? Like character or anything like that. So it's not like she can easily get another job.
Right, and there's hardship involved for Ethel for sure. But at the same time, you know, guiding her in the right direction would be more helpful to me than just like, I don't know. It just seems
finding her a different place to work or something.
Right. And anyway, there's slightly discussion about, oh my gosh, I've got to contact the family. And,
well, no, it's contacting Bryant at this point because she has been sending him letters, but he has not been answering them. He's been avoiding her. And so Major Bryant is going to be coming back to Downton to see his old friends, and Mrs. Hughes plans to deliver a letter from Ethel to him in person, make him read it, and so that he knows the situation and he can do something about it if he wants to. And so she does, and Major Bryant doesn't even open it, and he's like, I already know the situation, I'm not taking responsibility for that.
Right, and right. I mean, it is a dick thing to do, but at the same time, you know, in his position, there's also this sense of, what if she's been screwing with other people?
I mean, yeah, there's always that possibility, but I mean, come on, man, at least think about it for a second. Like, don't you want to at least meet the kid and be like, all right, well, maybe this is mine. But I do understand that idea that like she might have been screwing around with somebody else, but it's very unlikely.
Well, right. I mean, we assume that. I don't know. I mean, we don't see a lot of people screwing around on the show, but it is an interesting thought. And of course, out in the world today, you see a lot of people, there are a lot of paternity issues, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now you have DNA. Then you did not.
So well, you do have DNA. You did have DNA then, but you couldn't detect it or test it for paternity.
No one really knew what it was.
So there wasn't much. There wasn't proof, and he doesn't want to put anything in writing saying, "Oh yeah, that's my kid," or anything like that.
Right. He doesn't want to acknowledge her.
It's like the Duke. It's like, don't put anything in writing.
Yeah.
And so he basically doesn't take responsibility for the child, which is awful, but I mean.
And Mrs. Hughes is like, well, you know, maybe you can write to his parents, but good luck with that.
Yeah, honestly. And so that's basically, well, okay. Another little vignette thing is that there's this new maid that Mrs. Hughes has interviewed named Jane. She has a child and she's a war widow.
But she's a real war
widow. She's actually a war widow, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. And so, and her child is like, well, the thing is, Mrs. Hughes brings up, it's like, well, Ethel has been telling these people that she wants to be employed by that she is a war widow, but it's not true. And Mrs. Hughes mentions, well, that's funny because I believe this lady way more than I believe you.
Well, a lot of it has to do with references, because when you apply for a job, you cite people as references. And of course, back in the day, those references might lie for you. And of course, that's still true, but it's a lot easier to verify with a lot of the information that's out there. I mean, you can find a lot of information on people.
Right. And so Jane is starting as a new maid, and that's basically all of Ethel/Jane.
And let's just point out that we are starting to think this housemaid position may be cursed. Just saying.
I think it is definitely a defense.
When may have cursed it? Yeah, when may have cursed it? We don't know.
I don't know if there's one though. I think that
that's did well though.
Well, yeah, she did well for herself, and now everybody else is a revolving door. And so,
So anyway, okay. That is a plot that will proceed further. That's pretty much it for Ethel.
Yeah.
So do you want to do Bates?
Next? Yeah, let's do Bates. I think we should leave William for the end and do Matthew after Bates. Mom, don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay. So
all right. So what the deal is with Bates is he. Oh my goodness. That's right. Not the thing I think about when I think about this episode. But
right, it's not. So Bates and Anna, they are. Basically, you know, talking
they're trying to make plans,
right? They're trying to make plans. They're being, you know, talking about Vera and moving on. And
however, O'Brien, we find out, wrote to Vera telling her that Bates is back at Downton, and she's regretting it because a lot of other crap is going on with William and Matthew and all that stuff, and she doesn't want to add more stress. She also didn't know how far Vera was trying to go.
Right. She said, oh, I thought she was just going to come after, like, embarrass Bates or something. She didn't realize that there was a plot against the family.
Right. She didn't know, and especially since it might reflect that badly on Cora, it could be very
right.
bad.
And it's so odd to see O'Brien being defensive of the family, since she's even been, like, ugly about being in service to this family previously in the first season, and now she's kind of like, oh shit, you know, I've got to get my I have switched. It's like an about face for her, really.
Yeah.
But she hates Bates, and she was just kind of like, oh, I'm gonna get him, and then realizes that puts everybody in jeopardy, including her. I mean, if something happens to the family, something happens to her too. So.
And Vera shows up to Downton, and she has this conversation with Bates, and Anna's in the room this time. And she basically tells her what the story is. And Anna's like, I have nothing to do with that. And Vera's just like, well, you will in this version.
It's so interesting how comfortable Anna is lying about it. It's like, damn.
I know, she's very convincing. She's literally like, I didn't have anything to do with that. What do you mean I had something to do with it? And Vera's like, oh, really? That's not what I heard. And Anna's like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Well, she isn't. But essentially, Vera still wants, she's taken the money, but she still doesn't want to get a divorce from Bates for whatever reason.
She sees value in the story. Like, she wants to make money off of the story. Yeah. And so she just feels like she can hold everybody hostage, more or less.
And so after that conversation and everyone's upset, Anna goes to Mary and tells her what the story that Vera is going to tell the newspapers. And Mary's like, well, I don't want you to have to deal with this shit. It's my fault. I'm going to go to Sir Richard and I'm going to tell him the story and see if he can do anything about not making sure it doesn't get out. And Anna's like, well, what if he rejects you after, like, rejects your, like, engagement and stuff like that? And Mary's like, well, we'll deal with that if it happens, but I cannot let my story you first of all get out, second of all ruin other people's lives,
right?
Because this is getting in the way of Anna's happiness.
Well, and I think it is Mary finally coming to deal with the consequences of her actions, right?
Or right.
Her, whatever. So she is, again, a big part of Mary's story arc in, you know, being more accountable, being a better person overall, is explored in this season. I really love that character development. But she goes,
she needed it.
Right. She goes to Sir Richard and he's basically like, well, that puts us on a more even, you know, footing.
Even playing,
like,
field.
Yeah, it's like I'll do it, but you know, you understand that
you owe me. I feel like a wife should owe her husband. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude.
He's a creep.
He's horrible.
He's a creep. But this is where he, like, you know, it's the Jorah Mormont, like, selling out Daenerys kind of thing. It's like, yeah.
I think it's just interesting because I like how defensive he gets when he talks to Vera about it.
Yeah.
And he, like, I like that part of it where it's like, if he wasn't such a jackass, this would be a great partnership. Mm-hmm. But he, like, him, like, defending Mary and all that stuff. So basically what happens is he has Vera come in. He, like, tracks her down. And Vera comes into the office and he basically says, well, I want your story, but you have to sign this binding contract saying you will not sell it to any of my competitors. It will be binding. You cannot break it.
And if you break it, I'm going to send you to prison. Basically.
Yeah, you're going to go to jail.
Really isn't how contracts
but it's work. A binding contract
and she doesn't really know.
He's a powerful man and she knows it, and so she is in fear of getting thrown in jail I guess. And so Vera signs the contract and then he never releases the story. He actually instead releases an engagement announcement between him and Mary.
Right. And so Vera comes back, she's like, I'm gonna sell to other people. It's like, you can't
there's a contract, bitch.
Yeah.
And that's what I like that scene for Sir Richard, because I mean I just like this actor, but like he's so good. But him, like, being like, oh, I'm just protecting the reputation of my fiance.
Yeah.
And Vera's like, you can protect her all you want, you cannot protect John Bates. And he's like, that's your affair, I don't really care about that.
But but she makes threats against him,
and Mary tells Anna about the threats, and Anna's just like, yeah, no, that sounds like her.
Yeah, and it's like, because Vera's awful.
But the story will stay contained, but Mary is now more in debt to Sir Richard, and
he's ugly about it. Well, and that comes up more later, but
you know, that's next episode, kind of, really.
Yeah.
But it's intense. It's very good. It's a clever plot.
And the thing is, this actor does that kind of visceral, intense, almost physical, violent kind of thing very well.
We'll get there. But Mary is kind of stuck now. So even though like her story is not going to, it's going to stay contained as long as she stays with Sir Richard and all of that stuff.
Right. So Mary's feeling more and more closed in.
And trapped. It's sad to see.
With him, because that becomes something that is important in the Matthew storyline.
And it's also interesting because you get this parallel of Matthew and Mary moving on and being engaged and whatever, but Mary's is like a living nightmare, while Matthew's is like, oh yeah, Lavinia loves me and I love Lavinia, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like Mary's in turmoil around him, just being like, I can't get out of this.
And yet both of them are so dramatic about all these things.
Oh, it's so funny.
Anyway,
I love it so much.
We're going to get to all of that.
I will say again, I love that I don't hate Lavinia and that I do hate Sir Richard. However, like, it's just, I like that they made sure that we still want these, both of these characters, to individually be happy, and we're trying to root for them. And the only way that they can really individually be happy is together. Well, at least for Mary, is to be with Matthew.
Right.
And Matthew slowly realizing that he still does have feelings for Mary and cares for her and all that stuff, and wants seeing her with Sir Richard is just kind of like, oh God, no.
it's really an interesting thing. So, like, Sir Richard is the worst parts of Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lavinia is like best parts of Matthew.
Because if we're being honest, Mary, the worst parts of Sir Richard are reflective of the worst parts of Mary in the last season,
mm-hmm.
and her being greedy and her playing with people's emotions and trying.
Almost like, yeah, she's more of an emotional blackmail person, but he's a blackmail person.
Yeah, but it's, again, it's just the horrible things. And Lavinia is the best and somewhat
selfless
parts,
like,
of Matthew,
to the point of being potentially weak.
When Mary, now that we're talking about this, when Mary is talking about, oh, me and the Lavinia are so alike, of course I think she's perfect. It's the best parts of Mary are in Lavinia, the worst parts are in Sir Richard, but she's stuck with the worst parts of herself because she's not with Matthew.
With Matthew, because Matthew has best parts and worst parts too. He has this very selfless thing, but he also has this drama king thing that Mary has.
It's the worst, that's the worst parts to both of them.
Right.
It's amazing. It's a really
interesting character study, and that's part of the reason the show is so
this.
Great.
Oh my so, god, I love it.
It's
okay.
So great. Do we talk about Matthew next?
Yeah, I guess so, because we want to see sense. William.
Right.
All right, so what goes on? And we can add a little bit of William at the beginning just to
so
set
this,
the scene.
This is set 1918. Amiens, France. Mm-hmm. William and there's a major offensive that the British are trying to engage in. And so you see them right at the beginning, William and Matthew getting ready to go out of the trenches and get involved in this offensive. And it is, they're scared, mm-hmm. but they are stalwart, and the guys, the troops that are with him are following Matthew, and he's clearly a good leader.
He knows all of them by name,
right? He knows all of them and cares about all of them, and they know that. And William's we've got to just do it. And that's part of what you love about William too, is that he is a solid good guy.
Yes.
He's not a coward. He is.
Everyone has that little bit of nervousness, but he is able to mask it pretty well because he's had to deal with a lot of abuse from Thomas.
Well, he's also somebody who understands my function is to be part of what makes this work.
Yes.
And so he's been a team
player. He's a good cog in the wheel everywhere he is. And that's shown when he steps in for the the general's luncheon or whatever last episode, where he's
team
just
player.
I'm willing to help out even though I'm shouldn't have to work right now.
He's so good.
He's amazing. So moving on from William. So we'll get to him, but Matthew and William, they go, and then William pushes Matthew out of the way and it explodes and they fall and they're injured.
Right.
I'll go ahead and tell you what the injuries are for both. Matthew has a spinal injury and he's essentially paralyzed as far as they know.
He's paralyzed for sure.
He's paralyzed.
Whether or not
it's permanent is uncertain. And William has severe internal injuries with his lungs and he's not going to last.
Right. But the treatment, and you see the disparate treatment between officers and enlisted, because Matthew comes to the Downton Hospital for treatment, whereas William is sent to Leeds and it's far away. No one seems to give a shit.
And his father doesn't have the time nor the money to go and abandon his farm, go and be with his son who is dying.
Well, and you love the fact too that Violet and Edith advocate for them. And they're
fights for William to be transferred to the hospital, which I absolutely adore.
I love that too. I mean, I love, again, this symbiosis or the need and support that the aristocracy gives to the servant class.
Yeah,
it's better than you expected.
It's very interesting, especially coming from Violet, who was initially oh no, officers and the enlisted, they shouldn't mingle or be
it's different.
It's different because
this is our guy.
He's from this village. He's lived here his entire life.
His father can't go travel to him. We've got to make this happen.
It really humanizes Violet in such a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Matthew. Matthew has a spinal injury, and it's so amazing because really quickly, she's in France, but we don't know where. And she's in the battle. Can you imagine? But Mary, during the sequence of when you see the shell go off, you see Daisy have this chill, and she's like, and Mrs. Fenmore's like, what's wrong? And she's like, someone walked over my grave. And then Mary, you see Mary when it's a shot of Matthew, and then Mary drops her teacup, and she's like, I'm sorry, I just felt very cold.
Oh, yeah, it makes my hairs, even talking about it, makes the hairs on my arms stand on end.
Goosebumps.
It's so beautifully done, beautifully acted, beautifully
conceived. Like, this is like original shit. Like, this is really good.
Yeah.
And so it's so interesting the way they do that. And so Mary, when they hear about in the middle of the night about what happened with Matthew, they don't know what's going on with William, but they will find out. And because Stacey's constantly like very worried.
Well, so part of what happens, a telegram goes to Crawley House. Mosley gets it. He doesn't open it, but he knows like this has got to be something serious.
It's because Isabel's not there, but they don't know that.
I have no idea where Isabel is, but somebody's got to open it.
So he takes it
to Lord Grantham and wakes up. You know, they wake up the whole house. And you know, you find out that like, you know, they're worried about William. They don't know about William, but Edith's like, I'll drive over in the morning.
Yeah. We'll make sure that we know what's going on. And so Mary is like, tells Robert straight up, if there's anything that you don't, please tell me everything that happens when you find out, because I do not want to be kept in the dark.
I can't live like that.
It is unfair. I need to know.
Right. And so they get there, they get to the hospital. They know and Mary's coming.
Mary is there to help out. And Dr. Clarkson's like, are you sure you're
good? He's being a dick.
Well, I mean, at the time, everybody's like, oh, women have weak constitutions. They can't see this. But even though like Violet and Isabel saw like a huge surgery before, they're fine.
Sybil's been trained. It's different. And Mary's like, I'm a volunteer. I'm fucking doing this.
And I will not be in your way, but I want to help. I will be here regardless of what you say. And Carson's like, okay, he's not going to look good, but okay. And so they bring Matthew in and oh my God, the makeup is insane.
Yeah. Because many of the actors on the show are super pale. He looks like blue.
He looks like a ghost.
Yes. I was going to say something I'm not.
God. But anyway, so they bring him in and he does not look good.
No, he's pumped up on morphine, but you know, you see Mary like, oh God, Mary is there. Like the word does eventually get out. And so as his treatment progresses, she is in with him and Sybil and Dr. Clarkson when Dr. Clarkson's examining his back.
Mm-hmm.
And Lavinia shows up and
they want to put Lavinia up at the house so that she's not alone in Crawley House and all that stuff. So that's kind of them. And it's Mary's idea to make sure that she's in the house. And Lavinia comes in and she says hello to Matthew and they like they're talking about what the injuries are. And
Clarkson
pulls Robert aside and tells him that there will be no children for Matthew.
Right. He won't even be able to get it up. This is sad.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's basically what he says.
But of course, Robert doesn't tell Mary.
Right, and because, you know, we're all going to, like,
even though she explicitly said, just tell me whatever's going on.
Like,
even though at this point, it really isn't assholes. Much of her concern she's not his fiance, but tell Lavinia.
Right, but again, the person who ends up breaking the news about the injuries to Matthew is Mary.
Yeah, Lavinia goes to unpack her stuff at the house. And Matthew wakes up and he basically asks her, he's like, I can't really feel my legs. Did they explain that to you? What's going on with that? And she's like, we're going to wait for Lavinia to get here. We're going to figure this out. And Matthew's just like, no, you need to tell me. And Mary's like, all right. And she tells him about the legs and all that stuff. And he's just like, okay, thank you for telling me. I know nobody else would have.
Right. And again, it's the nature of their relationship. They're going to be honest with each other.
And it's that element that makes me even more sad because of what Mary said before when she was even considering getting engaged to him and being like, I need to tell him the truth about Pamuk because that's just, I can't lie to him because that's not how we are together.
Right.
And so just seeing it even more in action is so, it's so nice to see. And then Matthew has this conversation with Lavinia. And he essentially says, we couldn't be properly married. And Lavinia's like, oh God, I don't really care about that though. Like I'll still be here to help you and take care of you and all that stuff. And he's just like, I don't want that life for you. You need to stay far away from me and you need to live your life.
And he's
acts like I'm dead. And I'm like, dude.
I understand that. He hates himself and hates what's happened to him so much that he wants to protect her.
Well, he also doesn't want her, like what he says to her is like, it might not matter to you right this second, but you might live to regret staying with me if you can't have children. Like again, it might not be important now, but it might be later. And then you'll be, and that I can't let that happen to you. Like if you want a regular life, I can't give you a regular life. Right. He doesn't want to make her like act as his nurse or anything. He doesn't want that for her, right. And which I respect, but at the same time, like it's her decision too.
Right.
But he essentially says, go away and act like I'm dead and just live your life. And Lavinia, she goes back to the house and Mary walks in. Okay. This is after she gets back from London. Mary comes in and Lavinia's crying. And I love that Mary goes and checks on her. That's right. So sweet. Yeah. And Mary, essentially, she hears about what I love the way Lavinia puts it, of like, this should have been obvious to anybody with a brain, but I'm so stupid, I didn't think about the implications of it, like, we can't be lovers. And we can't be lovers. And I was like, oh my god, I love the way they put that, because it's like, you're not usually thinking about that, right. Or like the long-lasting consequences of it, other than like the paralyzation and stuff like that.
Right. Well, and it depends on a lot of
things. Exactly. And so Mary's like, no, it didn't occur to me either. And to make her, and also to make her feel better, she didn't think about it, but still.
Right.
And it is a big deal, because he is the heir, and we want heirs after this as well.
Right. Right. So there are a whole lot of questions involved in that.
It's intense.
But what we see, you know, Lavinia is kind of out of the picture for the rest of.
Well, before that, Mary says, you should fight for it. She like explicitly says, you should fight him on this. You should, if you really want to be with Matthew, you need to fight for it.
Right.
And Lavinia is like, he just won't listen to me. And so Lavinia basically, I think, goes back to London.
Right.
And the last little bit of Matthew that we see is like Mary, like, is at his bedside, because she's always at his bedside. And it leads to like conversations later that kind of bug me.
Right. It does with me too. But Mary is taking care of him. And like he's talking about how crazy it is. Like, oh, we had that conversation where I'm rejecting you. Look how stupid that was.
Well, no, look at the role reversal here.
Right. But he's also like, you know, I couldn't. You know, I wouldn't want you to even be around me if you were engaged to somebody else.
But he talks about that next episode.
But he also like ends up like throwing up, and she holds the bowl
and
for
she takes care of him. And then as she's leaving to like throw away the
Isabel comes in.
Yeah, and Isabel comes in and and she's like, oh, you've become quite a nurse since I last saw you. And Mary's like, it's nothing. And then Isabel under her breath says, it's not nothing. It's so much.
Yeah, and then she goes to see Matthew, and you see him like, mom.
No, yeah, he has this look in his eyes, and he like has a couple like a beat, and you can see him about to cry when he sees his mom, and he goes, mother, and it's so sweet.
Like, oh, my baby.
I wish I saw more of a reaction from Isabel in that moment.
You see her, she tears up even as she's coming down the
I don't see it as much I
see it with her, and of course I feel it, because he does a dance. He was
so good. It's like, it breaks my heart.
It is.
Like, speaking of breaking my heart, let's move on to William.
Oh my god.
So they Violet and Edith eventually it's so funny. The scene Violet calling Shrimpy is so funny. She's like yelling into the phone.
Is this a device of communication or a device of torture?
And she calls Shrimpy, is like, who do we know on the board of the hospital in Leeds?
Yeah.
And they get William transferred into just a nice room in Downton, because they know that this is going to be the end for him.
Right. The doctors are all very clear at Leeds, like, he ain't gonna make it.
Yeah. And even though he looks fine out, like on the exterior, it's interior and it's not good.
Right. And so the idea is, we've got to make him comfortable for whatever he has left. Yeah. And so they move him into this real guest room at Downton. Mr. Mason is with him. Edith is his nurse, and she's doing a great job. And she's because she even said, like, move him in and down, I'll take care of him.
Yeah, no, you don't have to like sacrifice any of your nursing staff. I will do it.
Right. So that she had told Clarkson that. Mm-hmm. And she does it. And so she's there to take care of him. Daisy, of course, is like terrified to even see him, because she's like, I don't know what to do here.
She feels guilty,
but he wants to marry her before he dies. He knows he's dying. And he's like,
well, there's a conversation.
Take care of you.
There's a conversation before he really knows that he's going to die, and he still wants to marry her before the war ends. And she's just like, well, we can talk about it later. And then he understands the situation. He's like, you're going to marry me right now because you can get, it's more for the benefits after he dies. He wants to take care of her. He wants her to have the widow's pension.
He's very clear with her about that.
It's not even just like, and we love each other, so it's okay. And Jace is like, and yeah. She just feels so guilty
and
about doing
that. Patmore's basically like, you need to freaking marry him. What is wrong with you? Yeah. Which I don't really like Mrs. Patmore's
attitude about it. But I understand it. And it in that situation, like, what else are you going to do? Like, it's a dying boy that you do care about, but maybe not in that way, but you do care about him.
Right.
But
he wants to care for you.
He wants to take care of you. He
wants to take
care of you. But she feels like she's going to live a lie and all that stuff. And she feels very awful. And Mr. Mason's even just like, you'll do it, right? And she's just like, yeah, I'll do it. And and then they get married. Everybody shows up for the marriage.
Yeah,
and
Carson gives her away.
Yeah, Violet's crying. Carson's crying. Yeah. Everyone's
now, Violet
crying.
Goes to bat too about this because she basically tells the vicar, like, you're marrying these people. Yeah, you are marrying these people. In case you have forgotten,
we pay for
everything you have. I think you can make sure that this happens because he's like, well, he's an extremist. It might not be like a real marriage. And she's like, stop it.
Yeah, no, you're gonna do it. And so they and Daisy and William get married, and then a couple hours later,
Daisy stays with him though. Yeah. And this is like very telling to me on some level, is that, you know, they go to like say, hey Daisy, you can go get some rest.
Yeah,
like, no, as long as William needs me, I'm gonna be here.
And then Mr. Mason, like, that's next second, he's like, he doesn't need anybody anymore. And William dies.
And it is, I boohoo cry. It's very sad.
It's very sad.
It is so sad. Because, you know, here is somebody who's really done everything right. And you want, I don't know.
It's very, very, very
it's
sad.
It's just heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. But that's more or less the episode. Mm-hmm. What were your best points?
Mary. I think Mary, in general, is just fantastic in this episode. She, first of all, as soon as she hears that it's like Anna, like it's messing with the Bateses, she immediately is like, I'm going to tell Sir Richard and we're going to settle this because we can't let this ruin any more lives than it has to. Right. And she's like, I will take the fall for it. You do not have to deal with that right now. And so she goes to Sir Richard and she does all this stuff and it's really very brave of her. And she's just like, and she's now trapped in this marriage and this engagement and all this stuff for everybody involved to make sure that nobody has to deal with her scandal, which it's very generous. It's very noble.
And which, you know, again, you get a sense that Mary has the ability, but she doesn't always exercise it. And here she is.
Yeah. And then also her taking care of Matthew, being at his bedside constantly. And it really does mean a lot. Yeah. And her even being there for Lavinia and being like, you need to fight for it if you really care about it.
Yeah.
And her encouraging that and all that stuff I really like. Violet and Edith, I love that they're taking care of William because it's so telling how much like everybody cares about this boy. And I love showing all the love to William this season because they like stand up for him in the first episode for like them being like a coward. They recognize him in front of the general and it's just really nice to see.
Right.
It's nice to see them standing up.
But I agree with you. I feel like this is great. Great character development and like just the whole family development basically.
Yeah. Also Matthew, like the acting in this episode is absolutely insane. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like him that one like mother line, I can't do it. And so and also William. I mean, oh my God.
And of course William, the actor is amazing.
No, I was going to mention there's the scene where he now knows that he's dying and he's talking to Daisy about wanting to take care of her. And you can see like the tears running down his face. Oh, and it's just so sweet. It's so sad. But yeah, those are my best parts. What about you?
The only things I wrote down were Mary, William, and crying. But you know, for me, I don't cry a lot.
I've been crying a lot.
I cry a lot at this and like shows crying so much. I mean, not a lot, but I do cry more at like I don't cry in real life all the time, but I do cry at emotions brought out of me in other circumstances, and so that is but this season
I don't usually cry at like down that. Like, oh, I, oh, it, like okay, no, sorry. specifically this rewatch, I've been crying so much.
Yeah, I've been like bubbling. It's sad. It's funny. But the fact that this show is able to do that for me does a lot. It says a
sometimes
lot.
Sometimes it's just in the music.
The writing, the acting, all this. Oh, yeah.
The music, the acting, the writing.
All right. So those were the things I wrote down. What were your worst points?
Vera.
Oh, God. I didn't even write
it. O'Brien writing to Vera. I appreciate that O'Brien like regrets it, but too late. And she has this conversation with Thomas about like, well, I didn't think that it was going to go this far, and Thomas is like, well, it's your fault. And I'm like, yeah, it is your fault.
Yeah, is.
I don't like agreeing with Thomas, but yeah, it is your fault. I say Branson. There's a little bit of Branson in here being a little bit putting a lot of pressure on Sybil about like, do you want to run away with me and all that stuff. And I'm just like, dude, calm down. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, I didn't write any of that.
Daisy question mark. It's kind of hard with Daisy.
My thing is Mrs. Patmore in this.
I think putting the pressure on Daisy. I think that's what I mean. Putting the pressure on Daisy in general. I've hated it this entire time, putting all that pressure on her. But especially in this episode, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
And like going forward, she feels so guilty. And I'm just like, yeah, I can't blame her. Like I feel guilty too.
Right. But at the same time, I understand the other side of it.
Sure. And also Ethel. I don't care.
Yeah. So the only one I wrote down was Mrs. Patmore, because I do feel like how she yells at Daisy about this, but she yells at Daisy about everything. So I don't know. Maybe Daisy's somebody who needs to be yelled at. I don't think that that's the best way to handle anybody. So I kind of feel like it's excessive, but I just felt like that was bad. But yeah, I hate Vera. I hate Ethel. I despise Thomas and O'Brien on every level. But I do, the thing that bugged me the most in this episode was Mrs. Patmore. What grade did you give this?
I give it an A-. I think this is a really good episode. It's not one of my like all-time favorites or anything like that, but it's really, really good. It's very emotional.
In the moment, I gave it an A.
Okay.
And it may be an A-, I don't know, but I gave it an A because...
Well, we're just kind of flip-flopping our positions from last episode where I gave an A and you gave an A-. So, I mean, it's fair.
Right. This is, to me, just a really, really pivotal kind of episode because of the character development for Mary particularly. So I love this episode. But we will move on now to season 2, episode 6. What are our sections for this episode?
We have Isabel, Anna and Bates, Ethel, Patrick, and Richard and Mary.
Right.
So let's do Isabel so quickly. It really is not that big. So basically what happens with Isabel is they're starting to plan for the end of the war because things seem to be going that way.
Yeah.
And so Isabel's just like, well, you're going to keep it a convalescent home, right? And they're just like, no.
And she has like pages and pages of plans I'll run it and I'll do this and we'll have these.
We don't like you running it while during the war. Like, why do you think that they would give you this power?
Right. And everyone's telling her no. And she's not hearing it. It's like, come on. And you want to slap the shit out of her, basically.
You'd think you'd learn when you came back from France, but no. And so Isabel is just being really annoying. And there's this amazing scene with Violet where Violet is trying to give her something else to do and a different cause to champion.
Oh, what I love is like, Cora's like, well, but she's such a martyr. And Violet's response is, we give her another, how did she phrase it? Another platform to die on, basically.
Yeah. And so Violet, there's this race scene with Violet being trying to be like, well, Isabel's trying to give her these plans about like, oh, we're gonna have a lecture thing and a little like lesson thing, and Violet's just like, oh, but what about those poor refugees?
And they, maybe she starts with orphans, widows, refugees. And she's like, well, you've really struck a chord there. She's like, really?
Have I? Thank God. It's so good.
And then she's like, you know, your skills are just really suited to helping the refugees. I was having that conversation with one of the organizers. Which organizer?
I remember. And then there's a scene later on where Isabel and Cora and Violet are at tea, and Isabel tells Cora, it's like, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to disappoint you, Cora, and Cora's just like, oh. And Isabel's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to be like helping out with refugees, but I do hope that you guys will keep doing the convalescent home. And Cora's like, well, that was your idea and we couldn't do it without you, so let's just not do it.
Yeah.
I think this will be best. And so that's right. basically how that resolves. It's very funny.
It's very funny because, of course, you know, like, Isabel is so clueless.
She's so pushy.
Yeah, and clueless. She doesn't hear what people say to her.
Mm-hmm.
She just has her own view, and that's the view, right?
Yeah.
So it is kind of fascinating. But
who do you want to talk about? Ethel?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not too much to talk about with Ethel. Basically, wait, what is there to talk about with Ethel?
I don't know. You wrote this down.
I know I wrote it down. I'm just trying to figure it out. Did I just write down Ethel as like a major reaction? Like what?
Oh, I see. I got it.
Yeah.
All right. So the guy, Mr. Bryant, Major Bryant has been killed. They need to write to, she needs to be like going to the parents.
Well, first of all, that's basically how that it ends. But Mrs. Hughes gets caught by Carson giving Ethel food. And she has to tell Cora, and so Cora knows the situation now. And they want to try to get Major Bryant back to Down and to arrange a meeting. And then Cora finds out that Major Bryant has died. That's basically it. And Ethel's just like, well, what am I going to do now? And she's like, I don't know. And so that's basically the end of that. It's really brief.
Yeah, you can try writing to his parents, but you know, basically you're SOL.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard the abbreviation for that, but sure. Then what do you want to talk about next? Anna and Bates, Patrick, or Richard and Mary? Anna and Bates, maybe?
Anna and Bates, yeah.
Because we'll do that, then Patrick, then Richard and Mary, because mm-hmm. Richard and Mary is more interesting.
Yes.
So basically what's going on with Anna and Bates is that they're like, yay, we're going to be okay. But
temporarily.
But then Bates gets this phone call from his lawyer, and Vera is going to tell the judge that she's been essentially paid off to do the divorce, and which is true.
But it's also like, you know, that's what you asked for, so you know, we capitulated.
But it wasn't above board, so it was basically him bribing her into it instead of it being like officially through like, oh, I'm going to give you this much to
as a settlement.
It right. wasn't, yeah, it was not above board. And so it can be
misinterpreted.
Yeah.
And exactly. So they think the judge is going to reject the divorce.
Mm-hmm. And they're really depressed about it.
Right. So he's going to go and talk to her.
He's going to go up to London and he's going to have it out with her. He has this conversation with Robert that is important later on, right. Where he's like, hey, I'm going to London. I've already arranged it with Mr. Carson. It's going to be okay. And Carson, Robert says, well, I hope this has to do with some land you own and not the former Mrs. Bates. And he says, if only she was the former, or better still, the late, which is very sketchy.
Well, right, but then the rest of the conversation is like
just restrain yourself.
But it's also Bates saying like she's just being terrible, and you know, so there is some mitigations, you know, in what Bates says, that because it gets quoted later, the mitigation is not included in that.
And and Robert is essentially like, well, I hope that you don't lose your temper with her and all that stuff. I hope this is done like peacefully and stuff like that. Yes.
And which Bates is kind of like, I hope so too.
And so he goes up to London, he comes back and he has a scratch on his cheek when he comes back, and Anna goes, it's like, how did it go? And Bates says, worse than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And also I'd like to mention that on the phone with the lawyer, O'Brien overhears the conversation that Anna and Bates have about like what they're going to do about this divorce. He was like stressed about it. So right. O'Brien has heard it.
Right. So at the very end of this episode, and it's clearly days later, they get some kind of telegram saying that Vera's dead and mm-hmm. that she's been poisoned.
Well, not that she's been poisoned, but like we find out about that later.
We see her lying on the floor and she looks like she's
dead.
She doesn't look externally injured.
Everyone is dropping like flies. And so
some of them we don't like, and it's okay.
Yeah, like Vera. And so, but not William. But so yeah, Vera's dead. What a twist. I love that twist.
Dun, dun.
It's such an interesting twist.
It is. So let's talk about Patrick. And of course, Patrick? So the thing I wanted to mention before we get too far along in this is the cocktail. Of course, I forgot to say that it is whiskey cookie Americano. the orange liqueur and lemon juice.
No, you did say lemon juice.
Did I say lemon juice?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I was concerned because the lemon juice is a major factor in why this tastes okay. So I just wanted to make sure that it was in there. So
there is a burn victim who is
named Patrick Gordon, and he's right, Canadian.
Right, he's asked to be brought to Downton because he says he has a connection to the house and the family.
And the family's like, well, we don't know that.
But we have a lot of
cousins. And there's like a really distant cousin that married a Gordon or whatever from like 1860 something. I don't know.
It's possible. We don't know. So he shows up and he starts talking to Edith. And he's like,
I've met you before. And she's like, did you?
I thought you'd recognize my voice, but I guess I sound Canadian now. It's like, so think about like when the Titanic went down is 1912.
Yes.
And it is now 1918.
So like, 6 years later.
People don't change their pattern of speech at that level
that quickly.
6 years. Yeah, it's no. But she's like, Edith, I think, just wants something. She wants to believe that this is her cousin Patrick Crawley.
Because he does claim like, that he does.
He's like, because she says something and he's like, why? Because you loved me more. And you know,
it's weird. It does create a lot of tension.
Right. He picks up on her. He reads her very well.
Yes. She's pretty much an open book. But so what happens is Edith talks to him about this stuff and he essentially is like just kind of like a sidekick, kind of just, and this is mentioned later by Mary, but he's just saying general things that could be true, like, oh, you had an awful governess that we hated and when we played.
Oh, Frau something?
Fraulein Helda or whatever.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah.
It gives him the detail. And he's like, you know what I'm talking about. And so she goes to Robert and tells him about this. And Robert goes to Gordon and he notices like a little, like a twitch or something. That
right, he's got like a hand gesture or something.
That Patrick used to do.
Right.
And he clocks it, but he still is concerned and doesn't believe it. But
because it's Gordon, a huge thing.
Yeah.
Even the guy is like, look, that's going to be hard for Matthew and I take over kind of thing.
Yeah.
He has an interesting to me is he like, when I was at the hospital, the entirety of my account was written down for me. Here it is. Go take it to your lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
weird.
That's weird.
And it does kind of match up what could have happened in that situation.
Right. So his scenario is that there was an officer from the Titanic that did go back and save some people from the water. And he claims that he's one of them, that he was taken to New York. He had no memory at all until a month before because of the shell that knocked him down in France and burned him. I suddenly remember who I am, is what he claims.
And so Robert has it sent to Murray in London to get it checked. And he gathers the family around to tell them about what could possibly be happening.
Right. I'm sending this out.
And this is like, what, one more goddamn fucking thing?
Well, this is, seriously, but Mary is so funny because like when Mary's immediately like, no, this is not true. This is absolute bullshit. No. And Edith's like, well, shouldn't you care more about this if he actually is alive? You were going to get married to him. And Richard looks at her and just like, what? Should I be concerned?
Yeah,
she's like,
absolutely not.
But she also is like one of the first things she says is, you know, Matthew shouldn't have to handle this after all he's been through. Like, she's not concerned about anybody but Matthew in this. That is her number one. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, and everybody knows. I mean, everybody can see it. And a lot of what's in this episode, too, and we don't talk about it, the Mary and Richard thing.
We'll talk about it.
But yeah, we haven't talked about it yet. And it is a very
great.
It's so dynamic. So Mary immediately is like, oh, this is horse shit.
Yeah, this is absolutely bullshit.
And Mary eventually comes back with, yeah, there was an officer who went back and got some people, but there was a
Peter Gordon that Patrick worked with.
Yes.
But who moved to Canada in 1913.
Right.
And joined the like regiment or whatever this guy was claiming to be part of, and Edith goes and talks to him and is just like, well, I believe you, and he's like, oh, it's so hard,
and then
Well, no, but he also says, what if then she's like, we'll find Peter Gordon. And then he's like, well, what if Peter Gordon joined the same regiment as me? And Edith is just like, what are you trying to say? And he's just like, nothing. And then he leaves the next morning, leaving a letter signed P. Gordon. So,
and Sybil's even like, is it P for Peter or P for Patrick? And he's like, I don't know, but I believed him. And Sybil's like, well, that's nice.
Well, you'll find something else to believe in. It's okay. And I love Sybil just being in the background of some of these shots of like Edith and this Gordon guy like talking, and then Sybil just looking at him like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And she doesn't even like have a horse in this race. Be like, I don't care. I don't think it's Patrick, but I don't care.
I'm not gonna be mean to Edith because I'm just a nice person. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just funny. Like, it's funny.
And so that's basically Patrick question mark. It's not Patrick, obviously. It's not Patrick. Imagine if it actually was, that would be so sad. It would be so sad that he's just like driven away by his family. That'd be so funny.
But I mean, the note he leaves is like, it was just too hard. It's like the lying was just too hard. Just stop it.
You couldn't keep up with your lies.
Yeah, liar, liar, pants on fire. And of course, Eve still believes, like, okay,
whatever.
Santa Claus is a thing.
Mom, there could be children listening. Well, I hope not. We're cursing a lot. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry if you are a child. All right, let's talk about Richard and Mary.
Yes,
this entire episode starts with Mary pushing around Matthew in the wheelchair, and so this is a common theme. Like, she hangs out with Matthew a lot, and she's taking care of him. Again, leads to like confusion on my part. I'll go ahead and like talk about this really quick. There are moments later on where Lavinia is talking to Matthew, and she's just like, "Well, I took care of you better than Mary ever could," and I'm just like, "No, that's not true. You weren't there." Mary was the one taking care of him the entire time.
Yeah, it's just really bullshit. Fucking annoying.
Matthew being like, well, Lavinia took care of me. It's like, no, she didn't. Mary took care of you for the longest time, and then Lavinia, Lavinia comes back.
So part of what Richard's thing, and he talks to Corey a number of times about this in this episode.
He's concerned about Matthew and Mary being
close. He even says, Matthew acts like she's the only caregiver for him, and she acts like it too. Like he's like, is she still in love with him? And he at some point, even as episodes progress, says it to her. But
we talk about that later. But it's very interesting because Sir Richard's really concerned about Matthew and Mary being close and her taking care of him as much as she is. And which is, I mean, honestly, if he wasn't a jackass, I would be like, yeah, that's fair. Like, you have every right to
be like good friends. I mean,
they're close anyway, but especially knowing what he knows, it's concerning. But also, Matthew and Mary like are talking, and there's this conversation where Matthew's just like, I was thinking about William today, and I feel very bad, and I wish he wasn't in that position. Not that I wish that we've switched positions, but yeah. And I'm just like, so you're sorry, but not that sorry.
He's got a little survivor's guilt, but not a
lot.
I think what he's thinking is like, some German should have died for us.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
But basically Richard and Robert are watching them like on the lawn, and Richard mentions that they're going to be looking at Haxby Park, that's next door to Downton.
But it's got like
112,000 acres.
It's got like absurd.
It's
acreage.
Insane. And
there's a line when he talks about the acreage. He's talking to Carson, and Carson's like, "Oh, so you'll have many nice long walks."
It's so funny. But we'll get to that in a second. But like, Robert's hearing like all of his plans for Haxby of it being like turned way more modern, that and like him putting in like bathrooms with every bedroom, and I'm like that's a revolutionary idea.
Well, but it is in that time because your bathroom is indoors. I mean, like, oh my god,
so
running water was fairly scarce.
Either way, he's planning on updating it and putting a lot of work into it, and nobody really seems to like that idea.
Well, and Robert's phrasing is, oh, it sounds more like a hotel than a home.
Yeah, and so Mary and Richard go and look at the space, and she's just like, I used to come here all the time as a girl. And now it's just so empty.
It is a very elaborate,
large,
lovely home. It's almost entirely, you know, white Rococo kind of, or Baroque on the inside. And it's a beautiful, beautiful residence, but you know, she's like, oh God, where would we get furniture?
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, well, we'll do what people do. We buy it. And she's like, well, our people inherit it. She's just like, yeah,
and he's like, you're well, not. No. And so Richard also goes to Carson and
behind Mary's back.
And well, he
behind everyone's back, by the way,
he asked Carson, hey, will you come with us to Haxby when the time comes, when we get married and all that stuff? Will you switch to being our butler? And Carson's like, well, does Lady Mary know? And he's just like, no, I wanted it to be a surprise. And he's like, tell me, I await her instruction.
Yeah.
And so he does tell Mary, and Mary likes the idea, and she brings that up to Carson, and Carson's like, well, ask your father. And he's just trying to avoid it, honestly. And Mary goes to Robert.
Too. I mean, he's also thinking,
But in the same way, we'll talk about that in a second. So Mary goes to Robert and kind of pressures him into letting her do it. And Robert's like, yeah, whatever. It breaks my heart, but fine. And Mary's like, great, thank you, love you. And she goes to Carson. And
is like, Bates is there. Bates is like, this should be up to Carson.
Yeah, because it is Carson's decision. Yeah. And so Mary goes to Carson and is like, yeah, no, he's okay with it. And Carson's like, I will tell you when Sir Richard comes back my decision from like London or whatever. And so, and also with the whole trip to London, Richard talks to Cora about like, well, maybe we should bring Lavinia back so that nothing gets confused. And so
honestly, I mean, I don't like how Richard is advocating for Lavinia.
Well, I honestly don't mind it, because honestly, I don't blame him. Yeah, but so that's basically what happens. And
keep your nose Carson, out of everyone else's business.
Carson, well, it is kind of his business if his like fiance okay, is so messing around.
So his business is with Mary, but it's not with Matthew and Lavinia. It's
well, like, he doesn't know whether or not Matthew and Lavinia are like. I understand his motives. It's still a shitty thing to do. But so Carson is talking to Mrs. Hughes, and he's just like, "Yeah, I've made a decision." And he tells this cute story about Mary and how like. It's true that she's obviously his favorite, and he has all these fond memories and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, no, it's going to break my heart to leave, but I will be with her. And
I feel obligated to care for her.
I want to take care of her, because he knows how difficult Sir Richard can be. And so he is going to go with them to Haxby. And Sir Richard comes back, and he brings Lavinia, and Lavinia is like, well, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to take care of you, Matthew. And you aren't going to say anything about it. And I'm like, that would be great and all if she came back of her own volition and not be like, oh yeah, Sir Richard came and told me about this, and so I'm going to help you.
Right.
Or she just never left.
It also feels a little like she's helping Sir Richard out. I don't like Sir Richard, so I just think the actor, but you know.
Well, I think that it would be more impactful if she never left and was just always with Matthew, but Mary would sometimes like help him out, but like Lavinia would be there as a caretaker more. And so yeah, and then there's a moment later on, and also by the way, the war is over.
So there's a lot of, oh, what am I going to do? There's a lot of self-questioning.
That's more next episode. But essentially, Lavinia is here to stay with Matthew, and Matthew's gonna have to deal with it.
And she's going to, you know, she's like, look, it's different now because
I feel stronger. I'm going to fight for this. I want to be with you. And it's
and she's kind of like, well, I don't think anybody could have done a better job nursing it. I mean, it's like Mary did.
Mary's been doing it.
Yeah, where the fuck have you been?
In London? What are you doing?
It doesn't even count. I'm sorry.
You were engaged to this man. Like, if you really love him all that much and you wanted to stay with him, fight for it. Just be there, and he can't do much about it. He's in a wheelchair.
Exactly. What you gonna do? I'm helping you.
And there is this funny moment before Lavinia comes back, where Mary and Matthew are talking. And they're talking about like Haxby and all that stuff. And Mary said, and this is very odd. It's very interesting. Mary says, I don't have to marry him. I don't have to marry him. Even though, first of all, yeah, you do. Like, I mean, the story would get out. But she's like, I don't have to marry him. And Matthew's just like, I want you to be happy. And I would not let you be around me if you weren't engaged to this man, because I don't want anyone to be around me and like be sucked in by all this gloom and this.
Yeah, I'm a Mr. Drama King. Okay, so this is one of those negative Matthew qualities.
But there's this really funny moment where he's just like, if you weren't engaged to him, if I were getting in the way of your happiness, I would throw myself in the lake, and she's like, how would you do that, I would not help you. And then Matthew's just like, you could push me in. And she's like, without any help, it's just like, you push me in. And it's so funny. It's so cute. Richard is still like essentially concerned about the whole closeness to Matthew,
because they're so cute together, and we're all like, yeah, you're adorable.
Yeah,
because even he sees it.
Yeah. And then there's this really brief moment where Matthew might feel something in his leg, like a tingling, and
he's mentioned something to Base about it.
And that's basically the end of the episode.
Yeah. So what were your best parts? Sorry.
Let's start with best parts.
Mary and Matthew. I love it, of course. I love their little interaction about like pushing him in the lake. It's very funny. And just in general, like her taking care of him even just as out of the kindness of her heart, and also because she really just loves him. And also Violet is so funny in this episode. It's so great.
And I forgot.
I wrote Robert. Why did I write Robert? Oh, Robert, I guess because he is fighting for Matthew to like keep his position, and but he wants to get all the facts. He's a good like middleman for all this stuff. And so he, I think just him standing up for Matthew and all that stuff is nice. And also Vera being dead.
All right.
What about you?
The only things I wrote down were Carson and Mary. And of course,
Carson too.
I love that Carson, he's very circumspect in how he handles it. He thinks through his position on it, and he's not going to just jump at the money. And because that's what Sir Richard is all about, is like, I'll pay you. It's like, that is not everything to everybody. And I love that that's one of those dynamics that this show explores, is like, not everybody can be bought. And Carson definitely cannot be bought. He will do things because he thinks it's the right thing to do. And I love that. I love Mary in this episode. Again, Matthew and Mary together, I love Mary basically being fed up with Sir Richard. I love Mary caring for Matthew. I love that whole thing. But those were the only things I wrote down. What were your worst parts?
The Patrick bullshit. Sir Richard being a pushy asshole. Ethel.
Right. So I wrote down the whole Patrick bullshit, which I really just say, I hate Edith being so gullible. It frustrates me.
Now she's been on a good streak lately.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's like the two steps back kind of part of it. It's like, she's been taking one step forward and
yeah,
whatever. But so then we've also got Sir Richard. I wrote down Sybil, honestly, and part of it is Sybil. We don't see much of Sybil in this episode, but we see her kind of jerking around Branson, and I think this is part of the reason I don't love the Sybil Branson romance.
At least in the beginning, especially
because there's a lot of her being like, "Well, maybe I will. Yeah, when the war is over, I'll let you know." Blah blah blah. Maybe I'm ready. Maybe it's you know, like. There are points that we see, and there's very like dramatic cuts to his hand on her hip, or she touches his lapel, you know, that kind of thing. It's very, because there's so little actual
substance
to it. And
so I just wish that they were so significant. I wish that they just made it more clear that Sybil likes Branson that it was a mutual crush that they had on each other.
Yeah, and it's not just Branson being ambitious, but him making
the ultimatum and being like, oh, and it would make that even
better. It matters to her.
Yeah. So that it, like, she has more of a stake in it than it's just this crazy guy asking, hey, yeah, no, you're going to run away with me. And so if they built it up more and did not focus on this Ethel bullshit, I'd feel better about it.
I would agree. I'd like to see more of your time of Sybil and Branson, honestly, of like a real relationship with them. But I get the sense that maybe that would be harder to write.
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever. So what grade did you give this episode?
It was kind of hard to grade this episode. Maybe a B or B minus. I don't know. What did you give it?
I originally gave it a B. Then I gave it a B plus because they're, you know, I do love some things with the Mary and Carson.
I think I'm going to give it a B. I think it's pretty probably, middle of the road.
It probably is a B. I gave it a B plus because I was like, well, there were other episodes I didn't like as much. But honestly, you're right. I think it's B.
Yeah.
All right. But in any case, with again, We started rolling when we were actually watching. We are actually, in fact, binging the show, especially season two, because we love it. But we are really looking forward to these next few episodes of season two and sharing those with you. And of course, you're having a discussion about things to drink and pair with them and just all of the drama, drama, drama that comes with Downton Abbey season two. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.